Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 300. That's right, little old me banged out 300 episodes of Le Pro U Podcast in a little over 4 years, and I'm pretty stoked, pretty pumped, I'm proud of myself that I've done it for this long and I've been consistent and to reached that number. No big, huge, fancy guests, no big, huge, fancy story, just, you know, sharing out of my journal. So number one, I'm thankful to the listeners. I want y'all to know that, you know, there's no getting to episode 200 or 300 without listeners. And to celebrate, I wrote a little poem for y'all. So from the bottom of my heart, without you, I would not be here. And I'm stoked to be here. So thank you. I really, really do appreciate just everything. You know, just said one day I'm going to start a podcast, and fast forward, the people I've met and been able to help and the people that have affected me and inspired me. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing in my life. And so real quick shout out to Sir Hardwick that gave me the green light in the beginning. Katie Levine, who was my first producer, and for Kyle Clark, who's been producing it for the last 2 years. And just a big, big, huge shout out to my best friend Zen, because I can. Dog is my Zen. Enjoy. I'm living my best life, or I'm making a huge mistake. That's what I entitled PYP episode 300. And to celebrate, I wrote a poem. I'm living my best life, or I'm making a huge mistake. By TJD. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and I'm literally lying on the floor holding my best friend. I noticed I wasn't thinking of anything else. Wasn't sure if it was a weekday or a weekend. These are the moments I am aware of, thankful for, collect, and just try to be. I know I feel different. I feel better. Obviously, a better version of me. Not to say the old doubts and fears are gone, as in the movie A Beautiful Mind. It's just that knowing who I am and choosing how to respond are now aligned. I witnessed dolphins at the ocean on a Tuesday. Am I really doing something wrong? I walk the earth being thankful, being grateful every day. These are the words to my song. There are not many whom are doing as I do. There are no references to being me. Charting my own path, writing my own story, and supporting myself are the only things I can see. I keep asking myself, how are you right now, moment to moment as the day goes by? It is keeping your focus on each and every step as if trimming the branches of a bonsai. It is not in the big steps that we move forward. It is the little things that matter done consistently. It is in believing in yourself, loving yourself, and deeming yourself worthy persistently. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. This is what I believe, how I walk the earth. I share that which is in my journal. I stay in the moment, asking what is the next indicated step, straight out of AA. It does not make my life perfect or me, but it is a much better pathway. I thank God 30 times each and every day. I'm in charge of what I do and what I say. What others think and say, that is not for me to worry about. That is strictly on them. My time and energy are valuable to me. Thus, it is not pro you to view others and condemn. Reaching the 300th episode, I stopped and reflected. I looked within. Most of all, I am thankful. I shared, I healed, and got to help others. A very big pro you. Win-win. So I had no big guest planned. No super awesome news. Nothing to really reflect how I felt about reaching number 300. But the biggest thing was I was just thankful. You know, I mean, there was a splash of pride knowing that I got there. I mean, again, my goal for a little over 4 years ago was I want to do one podcast. I just want to do one podcast. I thought about it for so long, and I was just so happy. And I thought, okay, just remember, you did it. Now everyone is icing. And if you get to do another one, it's icing. And be thankful and be grateful. And it slowly evolved into the thing I do now, which is basically a journal. And I've helped people. And I'm like, wow, this is magic to me. Like, I got to do this, and it's, you know, it's worked, and it's still, and then to hit three, I mean, just the number, you know, 300, it's just really, like I said, I've been thinking about it for like the last month. So what I did was just write some notes. I've just been jotting things down, and I got a bunch of sticky notes, and I stuck them on my little dry erase board, and I'm like, all right, here you go. So I kept thinking this. I think this was a little bit this year, but lately. Like, when I'm good, or people are good, in my opinion, we can get a little bored. Then we start kind of nitpicking. And I'm like, when things are good and you start thinking about dumb stuff because you're bored, you got to stop and go, wait a minute. Let me list the things I don't have to go through. Let me list a few things I don't have to deal with. Let me list a few things that I used to go through with, and I don't have to anymore. Like me, when I think of commuting, you know, I loved my Jeep, but it was not a commuting car, and not, you know, 2-3 hours a day. And it's just, I think about that. And then what I had to do when I got to LA, you know, in between, you know, sitting in this parking garage, the fifth level down, in a relationship, arguing, thinking that I was just stuck and my head was being banged against a wall. Just being around kryptonite, you know, certain negative people that would just suck the life out of me. I felt all that. I went through all that, and none of that is present in my life right now. I could be thankful for just that each and every day. So I want to stay mindful of that. Not just, okay, I'm better. I'm not dealing with that anymore. Okay, I want. Okay, now I need. Seems that's kind of the typical little gerbil wheel that we get lost on. A quote I loved said, wake up, be grateful. Step one, step two. Wake up, be grateful. I'm like, this short, sweet, clean, correct, loved it. And I thought, just every morning, think that. Okay, wake up now. What am I thankful for? First thoughts of the morning. qualitative versus quantitative. I made that note just thinking about people in my life. I don't have a lot. Don't have a lot of clients. Don't have a lot of people in my life. But there's definitely a quality versus looking in my past and going, all these people or all these clients or all this whatever. It's definitely quantity. But where are they now? Hence, lack of quality. So I've mentioned numerous times about my nemesis, the dentist. And about 2 weeks ago, so I have to go for a cleaning every 3 months. And the first cleaning was a deep cleaning. And I thought it was that deep cleaning every 3 months. So when I went, this was the third one. I knew it wasn't a deep cleaning. So I was going just to get this regular cleaning. And I remember it just wasn't on my mind because I kind of knew what to expect. And I went there and I just was just so chill. Like I would say just a splash on tired. And I remember just sitting there going, I'm going to just keep my eyes closed in the waiting area as much as possible. And I don't remember how long I waited, but that's the thing, is I'll end up waiting. I'm like, why don't you tell me to come a half an hour later? If every time I'm waiting for a half an hour, I just don't like being there. And I was okay being there. So sat down, how are you? Good, fine. Did the regular, it's a pretty deep, but it's not like the very first time. But it's not just that little brush. They do a little round soft brush thing, the polishing. They did that at the end. So, it's a tad uncomfortable. But she started and finished, and it never took a break. I never had to say, oh, can you just stop for a second? Okay, adjust. Nothing. I was just calm the entire time. And I got done. I was walking out the door and I was like, I haven't felt that total experience in years. Because it's always like this thing's coming up, or there's bad news at the dentist, or I got 3 more visits, or the next visit, this cost, or I got to get this done, for 4 or 5 years, it's been dental, 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 and it just causes just the panic and anxiety in me. And I'm like, okay, I know I'm better. So maybe I'm handling things better, but the dentist is way better. So it's way easier to handle that. And that... And when I think of that, there's, again, the thing I'm thankful for. Like, it was, time, energy, money, pain, discomfort, just ongoing. And to have a little break and go, like, dentist, say that word, there's panic in me. And I'm like, okay, say that word now. And I'm like, okay, I got to go in 3 more months. So it's been about 2 or 3 years-ish that I've felt the best. 50 I felt, obviously better, but didn't really felt like I was healed till 52. So 52 to 54, just been feeling better and better and better. So what I'm lacking in those last 2 or 3 years is a certain negativity, a certain drama, a certain level of stress, which I've often referred to as kryptonite. There's people that are like in your life, and so they like get to kind of throw up on you, want you to be close, and just taste, feel their negativity. And a lot of those people are out of my life. And I was talking to a client. And I said, the hardest thing is to argue with success. If anyone's been listening for the last 4 years, 2 years, talking to me, knows me, it's like, is Tom better? Yes, fact. No pause, no delay, no curiosity, nothing. Just, he's better. Fact. All right, well, keep doing what you're doing. Well, what have you been doing specifically? Well, a bunch of things. Well, have you, kind of kicked anybody out of your bus? Slid the chess pieces off the chessboard? Yep. Now, none of those people, none of those chess pieces are going to agree with me. And that's fine. I don't need them to agree. I don't need them to understand. And they may want to try to argue with success, but they can't. I'm better fact. And the craziest tangible thing is chewed my fingernails my whole life. And I knew it was a nervous thing, but I just did it. Just whatever. Just biting on something, feel a little piece of skin kind of be pulling on it. Now I got this little, thing I pulled too far. Now it's kind of bleeding, a bit too far. There's always little nicks and, just always little bite marks, if you want to call them. And I remember when I was little, my father would want me to stop. And he tell me that like my fingernails were looking like girl fingernails. He's like, well, I'm going to make you feel bad, so you stop, I guess, or whatever. But and he mentioned, I'm going to do some things to try to help you stop. I was like, whatever. It was like one of those things that, you being you is probably why I chew my fingernails, and then you giving me a hard time about chewing my fingernails and making fun of me, I doubt's helping. But this was, it's got to be about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I actually noticed. And I just looked at my hands and I went, if you took a picture of my fingernails right now and any time between the ages of 8 and 48, 50, they're just healed. Those little nick cuts, bite marks, bit too short, pulled the skin, nothing. And it might not sound like a big thing, but I'm like, that was a thing, a nervous thing that I knew. Because like when I would pull on the little skin and pull too far, and then it would bleed, and it was like little, they would hurt. I mean, I just was highly aware of what I was doing. But I was never stopping. In the last 2 or 3 years, nothing. Now, what's the big shift? What's the correlation? And that huge thing I did for 50 years now being gone for 2 years. Again, you really can't argue with success. And I didn't wish for that. I didn't write that down saying this is what I would like to be doing and the choices I'd like to be making when I'm 54. But at 50, I did say that. I go, I'm going to start making some choices for me. So, and I'll give you an example of the kryptonite. One of my brothers, the middle brother, lives in Switzerland. He's been there as long as I've been in California, 20 years, maybe longer. Met a girl traveling and then ended up moving, living there. They moved back to Minnesota for a bit and then they went back again. But this is the brother that was just always complaining. Like he was trying to win the contest and my life was worse. And I'm like, okay, you win. And our last conversation, I hung up on him. Because listening to people complain is just not something I do. And there were times, he didn't get along great with my father either. And I was just kind of his big brother. So it was just, from the time he was a teenager to an adult in his 30s, he was calling me. I did this, I went through this, and it was just, again, just nonstop. And this is, again, that little, like when I got a text from my sister or my mother, it's just that little like, hey, here's the kryptonite, still glowing, letting you know. If you want to let us back in, because they haven't changed, they're still doing the same stuff, saying the same stuff, repeating the same patterns. So I don't. I went through a new phone situation, whatever, and I just don't get a lot of Texas phone calls. So I never had set that do not disturb. Never really get anything past 8 o'clock. So it never really happened, and didn't notice it. So this is a couple weeks ago, midnight. My phone rings, and I'm like, and I wake up. I mean, I don't ever hear the phones. Like, hear anything odd? You just wake up and. Not close to the phone, so I walk over and I look, and it's my brother's name. And I mean, it's got total 100%. Like, I'm not answering it. I'm like, there's 2 days when my phone was calling itself like I would be sitting at my desk and my phone would ring. I'd look at it and say, Tom Dieter. So I'm like, how am I calling my phone? I'm right here. There's my phone. So it was one of those things like, okay, is it him? Is it just some weird thing? Or is he butt dialing? Is it, you know, whatever. I just went back to sleep. So it's about 5:15, 5:20 a.m. Phone rings again. And I'm typically up between 5 and 6, but I just happened to not be up. And again, I got woke up, walk over the phone, I look, it's his name again. And right away, it was this whole list of like, oh, here's the facts. Here's what you did. Here's what you normally do. Here's what you're going to do now. It's like just reading it. But it was like, see, this is what, see, now I have time going to a family member for no reason. Okay, this dude's been abroad for 20 some years. He knows the time difference. So if you really want to talk to me, you're not going to call at midnight and 5 a.m. Fact. If you're calling between midnight and 5 a.m., gotta be, better be, an emergency. No message. So you're calling. It's obviously not important enough to leave a message. So back in the day, you know, had some bad phone calls, some bad conversations, and a home skillet called the whole entire family just drunk one time. So I've been on those phone calls with him. So I'm thinking, okay, it's midnight. He's having a bad time. He's whatever. I'm like, I have no idea. And again, it's probably been 3 years since I've talked to him. Woke up the next day. That day passed. Next day, never heard from him again. And I'm like, there it is. There's someone in my family holding up a sign going, yep, still doing the same thing. Because if I'm not, I want to chat, I'll call you during the day. If I really want to tell you something, I'll leave a message. If it's important, if it's emergency, I'll leave a message. Didn't do any of those things. What you allow to continue will. Because people aren't going to change. You have to. So there's many mornings I get up and I start questioning what I'm going to do, how am I going to do it, if I'm going there, if I'm going to go to the beach. And I wrote this down. I said, many answers come to me once I get to the beach. Like, I'm glad I'm here. I'm going to be okay. Enjoy the moment. Hey! I don't ever think of the things I was thinking about in the morning. You know, that suit up, show up, something will happen. Just move, get out of your house, get out of the bed, get off the couch, get outside, go for a walk, make some coffee, walk the dog. Just, you know, change the stimuli. Sometimes the external stimuli helps. Whenever I need to learn, know how to act, if something's bad or not, important or not, all I really need to do is watch Zen. Dog is my Zen. I got that in a coffee mug, and it's been my favorite quote. Because he's just, you know, that was the thing. I was like, okay, episode 300, you know, I'm going to reflect. And then, like, the thing I thought of, like, what's affected me the most? What do I love the most? What do I care about the most? And it was just Zen, Zen, Zen. You know, we're closer today than we've ever been. It's just nuts how much closer we get. And we're walking around at the beach and we don't have to talk. And there's just all this communication going on constantly. And I just love air. Like, we go to the beach and then we go to Rincon, which is like, you know, hour and a half up north and 25 miles south of San Francisco. And it's just this big beach where, you know, he can walk 50 yards away from me and we can walk for a half an hour up the coastline. Not next to each other, not on a leash. You know, sometimes I can't find him, but I know he's always got his eye on me. It's just this, like, he's got a leash on me, a visual leash. He always knows where I am, even if it's 100 yards away. And I just love that. And I'm at the beach with Zen. I'm like, there's no place I would rather be. There's no one else who I would rather be with. And I literally can just look at him and watch how he acts. to know how I want to be. I want to be a spiritual being, but I want to be a spiritual being that's as good as my dog is as a spiritual being. So this was something that for some reason I was just, you know, keeping it small, keeping it simple, moment to moment. You know, hey, I had a good day today. And there was this one day where I go, I just love my home. Studio apartment. I call it the Zen Garden. Not just a home, but a studio. You know, it's where I make things. It's where I live. It's where, you know, I healed. It's where I evolved. I just love it. But I was making some big moves, emptying some stuff, getting rid of some stuff. I cleaned out my truck. It was kind of like a spring cleaning. That wasn't a planned spring cleaning or whatever, but I felt it. Feng Shui has always been like that to me. Like, I feel it. If it feels good, then it works and it's right. And I just created some space and moved some stuff around. And I just was like, I mean, you know, I've always kind of, I thought, you know, I always had some neat, clean, nice places, but nothing like this. Like, it's a, like, I love what's in my home. Now, when I say that, I'm like, I love that I say that. I love it 54. Like, I love the stuff in my home. Now it's a box. There's a bunch of different size boxes, a bunch of different size shapes, boxes. And some boxes are really expensive and some aren't. But basically it's a box and you put stuff in it. And I just love, love, love the stuff I'm making right now. And I got this really old, gnarly, rusty, this patina is just so badass little shelf thing that fit perfectly under my desk, and I bought another roller cart that's just functional. And I'm like, my little work area is always evolving, getting better, getting more organized, getting clean. I haven't used that. I should put that away. Let me put that with that. Oh, a shift, a higher level. And that's exactly how I feel. You know, it's like, I'm glad I noticed my house. I'm glad that I'm a level where this is the stuff that's in my house that I made, and being aware of that and then being thankful for that. It's like, I always want to be a little bit better. I always want to be a little bit more organized with myself and my thoughts, time, energy. And I just always say that. Like, I'll post pictures of my little work area and the shelves and stuff, and I go, Zen Garden, always evolving. And I'm like, me too. Me too. And it's really like, you know, I came home one day and I was like, oh, I love my house. And I'm like, oh, I got Epsom salt. I get to take a hot bath. And I light these candles. And I take some pictures at the beach. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to take my hot bath and the Epsom salt. Then when I get done, I'm going to come out and I'm going to look at my pictures from the beach today. And again, there's this little part of me watching, going, wow, that's you. You're pretty happy, pretty content, pretty peaceful with the things you have and the things you do. I wasn't going to a sauna. I wasn't going to, you know, anywhere fancy, to, you know, whirlpool, jacuzzi. I was just going to go in my bathtub, throw some hot water in there with some Epsom salt, light some candles and chill. And it always makes me feel better, but I enjoy doing it. And I'm like, it's these little things. You get to this place where you really appreciate these little things. And the little things happen in the moments. So you got to be aware of the moments and be present in the moments. And when you start doing that, I think it's a lot easier to remain thankful and remain peaceful. And appreciate the things you have, like your home, what's in it, taking hot baths. So the mentoring thing, I just love it. I meet with the three dudes currently, first week of the month, and it's just, I don't know. It's like part of me is going, well, you know, I don't have this many clients. I'm not making this amount of money, but here's something I'm doing. And it just fills me up. You know, knowing that I'm doing that thing. And with three dudes I got history with, and it's going great, and I dig them all, and I'm like, all right, this is awesome. And I talked to Joe, who has mentioned a bunch of times, on the podcast, and he said this thing. It was just so cool. We were talking, and he goes, you know, I used to quote you, and he goes, I'd be like, well, it's this trainer guy. He's got a podcast, but it's a long story. And I kind of understood what exactly he's talking about. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, I bet he's going to say this. And he says, now I just go, my friend Tom says, and I knew he was going to say that. And it fills me up going, see, simple, easy. But now it's like, okay, I'm at that level, and that's our history. Joe and I have been talking for like 2 years. And he just, you know, we sit down and Skype, and he just, here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. Look how pro you I am. You don't know he's saying that, but that's all I hear. So it was just awesome to have this, like I said, 2 year history with this guy and see how good he's doing. And he's being in the moment. And he's being thankful, and he's stopping, and he's reflecting. He's also highly aware of his things, because he's got things like I got things. And this client I have, Madeline, I love Madeline. She says this quote I loved. She says, family, it's a hard groove to ungroove because it's the first groove. I was like, that is so poetic. You know, the things we've done, felt, thought about, ruminated on, spun on for years and years, 30, 40 years. That's a deep groove. It's a hard groove to ungroove because it was one of the first grooves. So as I was talking to Joe, this line came up where it says, you know, it's like I don't tell anybody what to do. Like I'm telling people what I did. You know, I kick some people out of my life. Don't talk to my family. And again, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying be the best you. And whatever clarity that gives you, trust in that and make decisions based on that clarity. So talking to Joe, it's just like, you know, so it's not quitting the job. It's doing the job better, making you, a better version of you at work. So those things don't affect you, hurt you, bother you. Family. All right, this is how much I give. Why? Well, if I give any more, I'm going to be drained. I'm no good to myself or my family. Okay, see, there you go. So it's not about cutting everything out, quitting everything. It's about you becoming the best you. And if you remain focused on that, you'll believe in the choices you make. And then it won't matter what other people say or think. So this was something I thought about. A lot of people get together and like they just talk. I'm like, I'm not much of a talker, although I can talk a lot. Kind of a dichotomy, wouldn't you say, Tom? But the song came on, Glory Days from Bruce Springsteen. And I was a Bruce Springsteen fan, more of who he was. He's a storyteller. He's got a cool vibe about him. But, you know, his music, just whatever. If it comes on, I'll listen to it, but nothing I pursue. But I thought about that. You know, people get together, and in the song, it's like they get together and they talk about the old days, glory days. You know, just picture two dudes getting together in a bar, drinking, talking about glory days. And I'm like, see, I don't do that. This is not a rip on reminiscing. But I don't want to sit around talking about old memories. I want to live today making new memories. Like today was new. Today was different. What are you thinking about? The things I did today. I mean, I've worked really hard at not thinking about the past. Not blocking it out. Just not. There's nothing I gain. I like the now. I like the present. I like the new memories. I mean, I'm with a dog at the beach balancing stones. I didn't have that written down. But I freaking love it. I love when I'm out there, what I'm doing, the solitude, the tranquility, the peace, the calm. I mean, everything about my life right now, I love. So what's in my mind are, you know, is is what's current and moving forward. It was just something that's I don't do that. I don't hang out with people when we get together and have nothing else to talk about except how good it used to be or what we used to do. You know, like, I don't know, I just, this is not a slight, but, you know, there's just people that I was in karate with, martial arts, and they stayed in martial arts, and they're martial artists, and that's just who they are, what they do, and what they talk about, and their posts, you know, like on social media, it's like, this is what I do, who, and I'm like, I just think I just keep changing and evolving. And again, it's not right, wrong, good, or bad. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, I'm just doing it this way. Like, yeah, I was a martial artist. I used to love fighting and working out. I just did that more than I did anything. And now I go to a beach with a dog by myself and balance stones. Karate doesn't enter my mind. Tournaments, fighting, I mean, just, I have no real opinion about it. Glad I did it, loved it, but it's not in my consciousness. So I knew May was going to be slow, and, you know, kind of checking that inventory, stopping, pausing, going, how am I, how are you right now, all those things. And I realized how much I'm able to kind of let go of that panic and that worry and that, you know, what about the money thing? Went to the beach 5 out of 7 days. And I wrote that down. I've gone twice since I wrote that note. And they've been amazing days. Like this beach I go to, Rincon, that's up north. I went early one morning. There was 3 turkey vultures. And they're the ones with really dope looking, the neck down, dark and brown. Dark kind of feathers with some brown feathers, really beautiful, but the neck up, they're red heads, bald, no feathers, freaky looking. I'd never seen those vultures or at the beach, and just, it was just super dope. And I'm like, I love this. I'm not tooting my horn, not bragging, I'm just saying. I didn't say get divorced twice and get a dog and have a podcast when I was 10, 20, 30, or 40. You know, this is just what happened, and now I'm responding. But I used to go, man, I don't have this. I'm not doing this. Stay home, white knuckle, worry. And now I'm like, you know what? I just think I'm going to be okay. I just really think I'm going to be okay. Trust in myself, belief in myself. So this is a pretty good physical thing. 54. I'm doing a live workout Wednesdays, and I just put out 37, and I was talking about failing. You know, that's kind of the success. And I would do with like a set of squats, you know, not kill myself, but do a pretty good number. I think I did like 30. And then I'm going to count for 10 seconds. I'm going to do a second set. I'm going to stop, count for 10 seconds, then go again. So I was doing 3 sets with 10-second pauses in between, and I had 7 different exercises. And I'd never done this before. I'm always just trying to think of something new, but it was tough. So I ended up doing 30 squats and then 20 squats, and I think like, 50, I don't know what it was, but I did like 60 or 75 squats. So the next day I'm at the beach, and I was going to see if I could get a couple of these bigger stones for a friend. I'm going to make a little gift. And that's the last thing I'm going to talk about. But so I go to Rincon. It's the big beach. It's Long Beach. And I walk to this one end where the cool stones are. And I happen to find 2. And they're 15, 20 pound each. So I put one in my bag, which is already full and not heavy. But it's probably a 15 pound bag of stuff. Water, some snacks, camera, blah, blah, blah. You know, my beach bag. And then I'm carrying this other stone. And I literally am walking for like 15 minutes. And when you're walking in the soft sand, it's a little tough. I mean, people have a hard time walking on the beach, walking in soft sand. I can do that fine. But now I got like 30, 40 extra pounds on me. And I'm peeling it. And I'm not just, you know, 2 minutes from, because I just want to walk to the car. Well, walking up the car, you got to walk back up the steps. And it's, I think you turn 4 times to go up these steps. So it's kind of a workout just going up these steps. And the whole time I'm doing this thing, I mean, I stopped twice, put the rocks down. I mean, it was really hard, but I wasn't like hurting. I would just give myself a break. I was breathing a little heavy and grabbed the stones again, kept going. I did the steps without stopping, just kept going. I'm like, okay, and I'm noticing, okay, there's my car. And I'm like, I'm like working. So I'm like, I just want to drop this stuff off at the car. I'm going to come back down, drop it off the car, walk back down. And I walked for about a half an hour up the north side. We're going north with Zen, and I was coming back, and I had a couple more stones and whatever. And this is now I'm further down, and there's like a ramp, you know, a path that you walk up. And I'm walking up that, and I kind of feel my legs. And in that moment, I thought, wow, I remembered the Wednesday workout, the squats, and all the walk. And I'm like, they weren't painful. I wasn't hurting. I was just like, wow, my legs are tired. I thought, how? And it was just as I just stopped. I don't know if I got in the car, but when I made the note, I was like, look what I just did on a Wednesday and Thursday. It's almost like I'm going to beat my legs up and see how my body feels. Legs didn't hurt back. I mean, if you beat up your legs, you know your back's getting thrown out, then it's probably your neck and blah 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 blah. You know, I've just dealt with a lot of stuff. So it's like, again, I'm aware of these moments, in the moments present, and I'm like, I did all that. And I was like, that's what I care about. As I grow older, I want to be able to do that, carry some stones, walk the beach, walk up and down the steps to get to the beach. So here's my last little note. I'm just, you know, again, feeling good. And fruits of my labor, breadcrumbs. And I've, you know, mentioned before about the income and stuff. And I go, you know what, I'm going to go to Tahoe. And I had messaged my friend, and he had, you know, sent me a message. And one day I just called and left a message. And then I got a message. He goes, dude, it was so good to hear your voice. I just fired up. And I sent him a text. He goes, hey, when are you and Zen going to visit? I was like, oh, this is what I need. So I said, well, when are you free? In June. And he gave me two dates. And I hollered at Mosier, who's not in L.A., but he's living in Oakland. And I was like, well, let me just do that trip. So I shout out at Scotty, and I said, hey, I come visit you for the first time. I'm going to leave Tahoe. I've done that trip before, kind of Tahoe to San Francisco and then back to L.A. And out of these two weekends, which is better? And he said, well, the 28th, 29th. And I said, okay. So hollered at my friend in Tahoe. I said, 28th, 29th. And he said, cool. And his wife, Don's going to be there. So Brian and Don are going to both be there. Don wasn't going to be there on the other date. So I was like, well, in just one day, I'm like, I get to go to Tahoe. I get to see, I mean, these friends, I've known forever. I mean, I remember the first year I met them, I think I'd been with my ex. Yeah, so I've probably been all these people like 20 some years, 22 years. So people that I've kind of met at that time, I don't really hang out with anymore. And they moved out of the state. And, you know, you're one person in one city with a ex or whatever. And then you just move and travel and change. But they're just the best people in the world. And it just made me feel good that we're still in touch. And when they invited me back up, I was like, oh, I didn't think about money once. I shouldn't be traveling. Because I don't want to fly. I don't want to take any big trips. You know, Idlewild is 2 hours away and it's a small Tahoe. So in a pinch, I can do that. The beach is all I ever need and really want. But I'm like, okay, spoiling me is either Big Sur or Tahoe. Two favorite places in the world. And Tahoe with cool people is just wicked awesome to me. So all of a sudden I looked and I'm like, it's in the calendar. I mean, it's like 2 weeks away. I'm going to get in the car, drive to Tahoe, hang out with Lake Tahoe, hang out with my friends. I'm like, I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. So I'm either living the best life, or if you fast forward and I'm 80 and I'm homeless because I wasn't working my butt off right now to make money, then we'll know. But right now I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I like what I'm getting. So two things to read in close. This is a little thing I found on social media. Things to let go of, things to cultivate. Letting go of what people think, cultivating authenticity. Letting go of perfectionism, cultivating self-comparison. Self-comparison, compassion, sorry. It's written really weird. I was like, self-compassion. Letting go of perfectionism, cultivating self-compassion. Letting go of numbing and powerlessness, cultivating a resilient spirit. Letting go of scarcity and fear of the dark, cultivating gratitude and joy. Letting go of need for certainty, cultivating intuition and trusting faith. Cultivating intuition and trusting faith. So I'm going to Tahoe. Letting go of comparison, cultivating creativity. Letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth. Cultivating play and rest. Letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle. Cultivating calm and stillness. Letting go of self-doubt and supposed to. Cultivating meaningful work. Letting go of being... I'm just looking for this word. It looks like, I think it's cool, but it looks like a G. So it says G-O-O-L. I'm like, cool. Okay, it's got to be cool. Being cool and always in control. Cultivating laughter, song, and dance. This is something that I loved, and it was just really for me. And I might have read it once, but I saw it, and I'm like, I want to just read this again out loud. So this is for me, and to say goodbye. And thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm totally stoked on having 300 episodes. It's just an awesome number, an awesome thing to achieve, and I just would not have done it without you guys, the listeners. Fact. Just wouldn't have, you know. And as I wrote in the poem, you know, I mean, I got to heal, and I got to share, and that helped people. And it truly, truly is the epitome of a pro-you win-win. One should know the living Zen in which one puts their whole self. In this living Zen, one does not confine their Zen life to merely readings, discussion, writing, or poetry, expecting enlightenment every day of their life to descend upon them from mysterious realms. Instead, one finds it in one's daily life, no matter where they may be. Living Zen is not a gift from above, but a vital part of each living moment. Reverend Soyu Matsuoki Roshi, from To Find a Bluebird, July 4th, 1965. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are worth it. Stoked you're here, proud of you, I love it when people take time for themselves to have experience, pro-you moments. So let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs crossed, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Inhale through the nose, exhaling out the mouth, elongating, slowing it down, controlling our breath. You will stay there, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to the best of your ability, for 180 seconds. Anything else enters your mind, just kindly, calmly, quietly, ask it to leave and return to your breath. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations on another successful pro-you moment. Here are the things that just pop into my head automatically when I think of certain things. And as I was going to begin this pro-you moment after my 300th episode, I just kept thinking little things done consistently and very repetitive as anything that I'm confident in, comfortable with, convicted. I've done a few times. And the feeling I had of accomplishing the 300th episode was that same thing. It wasn't one episode or 1 month or 1 year. It's just that little drop of water. Once a week for a little over 4 years. And that's when you can look back and be proud. You can see, feel, taste, smell, if I could, the fruits of your labor. And it just really, really comes down to deeming yourself worthy. Not deeming other people, to deem you worthy. Deem yourself worthy. Start today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Peace and God bless.